national headlines
and the local stories you care about.
WLBB Carrollton News Talk 1330
FM 106.3.
Good morning. Welcome to the Community Voice. I'm Steve Graddick, your host. Delighted to have you with us. And thank you to our sponsors, Tanner Health System and Oak Mountain Academy, which we'll mention in just a moment. A little bit different program for me, but I'll somehow work in the overreach of the federal government into the program, I'm sure. Our guest is a good friend, John Lewis, the president of Integrated Data Tech. And a little bio on John. John grew up in Douglas County, but he recently—I didn't know this. Y'all recently moved to Carroll County. I didn't know that. With his wife Mary and three sons, he went to Oak Mountain Academy from K-5 through the 10th grade, and was transferred to Westminster, where he graduated. Started at Georgia Tech as a mechanical engineering major, but switched to computer science. Neither one of those are easy. Neither one. Anyway, after a few years after graduating college, he started Transamerica Computing Consulting, which he owned for 21 years. And he started Integrated Data Tech last year to focus on providing a more personal approach to providing support for small and medium businesses, of which Credit Communications is one and has been for a quarter of a century. We get some assist from Tinian Associates,
yes,
but we're actually kind of a good bit of assists, so we've got a good team of people, and welcome, John.
Thank you for inviting me.
Well, the topic of this program is AI 101, Artificial Intelligence 101.
Okay.
For those of us who have the AI buzzing around our head and we don't fully understand it, and it's just like, God, give me a break, you know, what is this? So we'll start with the simplistic question, but the probably the best question is, what is AI or what is artificial intelligence?
Well, artificial intelligence, of course, stands for its meaning could be that a system that thinks for itself. But current AI is actually what's called a large language model. And a large language model is a system that can actually produce something in the human language that you can understand. It can return answers to questions, in a very human-like response. And so it's very common for people to ask it questions, and it give answers to those questions, kind of like a search engine on steroids.
Search engine on steroids. Let me write that down. So is the term artificial intelligence, is that more of a marketing tool? I mean, because you just said it was a large language? What was that?
Large language model, LLM.
So is it a marketing tool to call it artificial intelligence to try to make it sound bigger and better and more valuable?
Probably at this point, yes. Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm always about getting to the marketeers. Okay. Now, I hope we don't get so far that we're going to need a translator. So we'll pull up AI if we do, I guess. You know, make this sound where we can understand it. So I think one reason I wanted you to come in is because I'm not convinced that this is such a big deal, which makes me like one of a bazillion, you know, or one out of a bazillion who's defined as an idiot, because everybody else thinks it's a big deal. But it's just, I look at it just kind of like a battery. A big battery generally has a lot of little batteries in series. Mm-hmm. So am I right? Is this more like just computer chips working together, or what is this in reality?
Well, AI, the thing about AI is its acceptance, the acceptance rate and the use of AI. It has become something that people use now on a daily basis to get answers for some of the most simple things. People use it to write their papers. They use it to write contracts. They use it, and now AI is a very actually a broad spectrum, and there's not one AI tool that does it all at this point. So you have your most famous one, the most common one is ChatGPT. And just a fun fact, so ChatGPT, it was released officially November 30th of 2022. And its acceptance, it hit 1 million users in 5 days. And if you compare that to, say, like Facebook took 10 months to reach 1 million users. Instagram took 2.5 months to reach that. Where ChatGPT, in 5 days, you had 1 million, and now it's far higher than that. But people use it to, you know, give them ideas like, you know, give me a logo or a slogan or a company name or anything, or even write a contract. It has become something that people use in their daily life.
So you said it's a large language model. So let's kind of drill down on that. What does that mean?
So basically, it is a system that is able to search on and some would say learn or ingest information available all over the internet. So it's able to search, you know, everything from Wikipedia to anything else that's posted on the internet, and then it processes all of that information and uses it to generate its answers. So it can, as it gathers more information, it is able to put that into its answers for things. Now, sometimes those answers can be skewed. It can give opinions on things, and the truth is sometimes those opinions are based more on the programmers that program it. It's not the AI itself answering it.
And they're normally 19 years old.
Yes.
So we're in a lot of danger right now.
Yes.
Okay, but now back to my question. Yes. In order to do that, how are the chips, how are the computers, how is that working? Is it like one computer tied to another computer tied to another computer?
So these are typically in data centers, and they have a large number of servers. And those servers, it requires a lot of processing power.
Now, a server is nothing more than a computer, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. And you have several chip manufacturers, NVIDIA, Intel. But NVIDIA is known now for making AI processors.
But my favorite is Taiwan Computer Manufacturing, I believe it is.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Free Taiwan. Go ahead.
So
I told you I work it in.
You have these different chip manufacturers that are basically designing chips that are designed specifically to work for how an AI engine works, how that large language model deciphers the information. These processors are designed more specifically to be able to process that information quickly and give a quick response.
So are these big fat chips?
Not really, no.
They're not?
No, it's just many of them. It's multi-processed.
That's what I was wondering.
Yes.
So there are many of them. They're
yes.
not all that big and super super duper chips, correct?
Not really, but when you look at, because a lot of these are, they've basically adapted the GPUs, the graphics processing units that are still used. They're famous in the gaming systems, but also for AutoCAD and other high-end graphics systems. Those processors are designed to crunch numbers very, very quickly. That's what they do.
How much of this is being led by gamers?
That's a good question. I don't know that the gaming industry is.
But the gaming industry has put pressure on the development of high-speed chips, correct?
Absolutely. No, that The gaming industry drives the GPU market. Absolutely.
Okay.
I think you've got the, I mean, NVIDIA just released their latest, and it was all the buzz in the gaming world of this new processor.
Okay. Well, welcome to Artificial Intelligence 101. We'll be back with John Lewis, Integrated Data Tech. We're going to talk about data centers. That's pretty exciting. But first, these words.
The World Language Scholar Journey at Oak Mountain Academy is designed to provide students with a clearly defined, curriculum-based track to acquire essential knowledge and skills for success in biliteracy fields of study. The successful completion of this journey provides colleges with a method to recognize a rigorous foreign language immersion experience for all students at Oak Mountain Academy. I'm Patrick Uran, head of school, inviting you to journey with us on the mountain. For more information, visit us at oakmountain.us. Discover your journey at OMA. Prepare, explore, and achieve.
Consider the Mobius strip. Take a strip of paper, twist it, connect the ends. This connection forms a continuous loop. Seamless, infinite. That's how your healthcare should be too. At Tanner Health, the Mobius is our symbol and our promise, representing our continuum of care and our commitment that the services you need will be here for you always. We're not just changing healthcare, we're redefining it. See more at Tanner.org.
Welcome back to the Community Voice. This is a fun program, a little different for me. It's called AI 101, and there'll be a test at the end of it. And kudos to the Georgia Institute of Technology for taking both of us in and spitting us out. Anyway, all right, big topic of the day. We hear a lot about it. We're hearing more about it, and I've just heard from a friend of mine that a quote-unquote data center is going into Winston.
That is correct.
And people want data centers and they don't want data centers. So like we started at the beginning, what is AI? So what is a data center?
So basically data centers are typically just large buildings that house a large number of servers.
Computers.
you'll see those pictures of, you know, large racks with, you know, stacks of servers. And, you know, what data centers do provide is they provide redundant power systems for those computers. So they have multiple power sources coming in, multiple power lines. They have multiple internet connections, usually at least three or four, if not more. And it's all to guarantee the uptime of the equipment housed in those data centers. They provide, of course, cooling and have redundant systems for that. And then, of course, the big thing is the security. Data centers typically have multiple levels of security. It's not something you just walk into and look at it.
I don't understand. Do computers, servers, as you persist in calling them, I didn't realize they took so much energy, so much electricity.
Yes, they
no
do.
No wonder I'm broke. I mean, we got tons of computers floating around here. So that's where the injury, I did not know that, seriously.
Yes, yes.
Why? Why did, I mean, you wouldn't think that they would.
So, you know, power usage over the years in computers, I've been doing this for a very, very long time. And, you know, I remember when, you know, the computer might use, you know, 100 watts of power. And if you equate that to a 100-watt light bulb, for those of y'all that still remember incandescent light bulbs. Now we've got machines with, you know, 1,000-watt power supplies in them.
Why?
Because the processors, the CPUs and the GPUs, require a lot of power.
Now, GPU stood for what?
Graphics processing unit.
Why do they require so much power? They're just little teeny tiny things.
It's because of the speeds that they run at, and there's a lot of resistance. So there's a lot of heat that comes off those things too. So there's a lot of cooling that goes into those systems as well. So you'll have many fans running, and those are drawing power as well. But it used to be that, you know, you didn't have all these processors. You had one.
But now a chip is nothing more than what used to be. You're talking about, incandescent light bulbs, but a chip is nothing more than transistors, what we knew to be transistors.
Correct.
That are all crammed onto a chip.
Yes, and it's all gotten smaller. The scale of it has gotten, but they're squeezing more and more transistors into the same space, and it just takes more power, especially when you factor in things like clock speeds, how fast, how many cycles per second those processors can process information. And so they're drawing huge amounts of power. Before AI, the big power drain was Bitcoin mining. The Bitcoin miners were huge, and they still are. They're huge power hogs because they're basically running at full speed, full power, 24/7, and they are drawing power all the time. When you talk about servers that serve or that save information, that store information for a company, most of those servers are sitting idle most of the time because we don't work that fast. We're not doing that much most of the time, and they're just sitting there waiting for us to ask for something. Hey, give me that file. Hey, give me this information. And so they're sitting idle most of the time. But the Bitcoin miners, those machines work, they're trying to solve a problem, and they're always working at full speed. And so they were the first servers that were that people would use that were really drawing huge amounts of information. And now these AI engines are doing the same.
Okay, let's bring it back home to like Winston. Let's get one. I think there's discussion of one on 61. Mm-hmm. But the opposition is just that. It, mm-hmm. it sucks a lot of power up. But we don't have, does that mean A, that our power bills are going to go up, or B, our power bills are going to go down, or we just don't have enough power to sustain them?
Well, I think there is going to be a point where we're not going to be able to sustain it. The last numbers I had heard was that in the state of Georgia, data centers were using 55% of our power usage just for the state of Georgia, and we're adding more. I also heard that, I believe it's in North Carolina or Virginia, they've actually got a moratorium on adding more data centers because there's just not enough power.
Well, our good friends at Georgia Tech would say just build more nuclear power plants.
Of course.
And don't worry about it. Let's talk about water, because not only are these power hogs, but they also generate a lot of heat. And water mm-hmm. is often used, if not always used, correct, to cool them.
It is used in the chillers that they use in the large HVAC systems that they have to keep those systems cool.
Are we gonna see like a back to nuclear power cooling tower outside of a data center and the steam going up?
Well, if you drive by, like the Switch data center up there on Camp Creek Parkway. On a cold morning, I'm sure you'll see some steam coming up. But they do have a lot of cooling requirements as well. Over the years, as technology has improved, the cooling needs the equipment has become more tolerant of temperature. I remember when I was, younger, I would go into a data center or a server room, and it would be at 65 degrees or colder, and it would it would be very cold. Now we keep them at 72, or it doesn't have to be as cold. They're much more tolerant a little bit of variation in temperature, whereas before they were much mm-hmm. more sensitive to it.
Mm, interesting. But that also would lend itself to say you've got to locate where power is available and then also where water is available.
Yes. Yes.
So that's two major considerations.
Yes.
And yes, then, of course, you got to find the property. How much property do they take generally?
Oh, gosh.
That doesn't sound good.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you've got, I believe, I'm trying to remember how big Switch is. It's probably a 60,000 square foot or larger facility there on Camp Creek. They use acres. You know, they require acres of property.
Yeah. And so with that, they also have to have their own backup generators.
Yes, absolutely.
And they have to be huge.
Oh, they are. They are. They have huge backup generators. And, you know, then they have to have contracts with, fuel providers to make sure that in the event that they are on generator power, that somebody can truck diesel fuel in to keep those generators running over a long term, or they have to have huge storage tanks. But there's a lot of logistics to make sure that data centers continue to work like they're supposed to.
Well, I think it's important to look at the infrastructure of this because that kind of gives us a view into what it means. Mm-hmm. And that'll be my tease. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back with more with John Lewis of Integrated Data Tech.
The Entrepreneur Scholar Journey at Oak Mountain Academy is designed to provide students with a clearly defined curriculum-based track to acquire essential knowledge and skills for success in business and leadership. Critical areas include identifying entrepreneurial characteristics, selecting a value position, and business model development. I'm Patrick Uran, head of school, inviting you to journey with us on the mountain. For more information, visit us at oakmountain.us. Discover your journey at OMA. Prepare, explore, and achieve.
Consider the Mobius strip. Take a strip of paper, twist it, connect the ends. This connection forms a continuous loop, seamless, infinite. That's how your healthcare should be too. At Tanner Health, the Mobius is our symbol and our promise, representing our continuum of care and our commitment that the services you need will be here for you always. We're not just changing healthcare, we're redefining it. See more at tanner.org.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Community Voice. I'm Steve Graddick, your host. Glad to have you with us. We're doing AI 101, and there'll be a test. John Lewis is Integrated Data Tech President and good friend. He takes care of all our computers here, and we're grateful for that. We're going to run out of time, but we mentioned ChatGPT, There are almost kind of multiple AI engines, and if you could, in the midst of that answer, kind of tell us what's the truth behind DeepSeek.
Okay, so first, let's just to talk quickly about other AIs. Most people are familiar with ChatGPT, which is what's called a chatbot, something that you can ask questions and it gives responses, or you could say, hey, write this paper for me, and it'll include these topics, and it will give you an answer. But there's also the AI engines that are generating images and videos and voice
and songs,
honestly, those in some ways are the ones that are the really. In many ways, they're amazing, but they're scary at the same time as what they're capable of doing, where you can literally ask it, hey, make me a video about, a cat sleeping, and it will create a what looks like a real life image of a cat, sleeping or whatever. And it's really amazing what it's capable of. So
tell us what you understand about DeepSeek out of the CCP.
So, DeepSeek, it made the news here very recently. And I think the big news about it that everybody was talking about was that it it supposedly costs so little for them to develop it. There are some questions about that as to whether they're being honest about that. Because the cost to develop something the real cost of the processing behind it to be able to process that much information, it's going to be, you know, quite a bit to develop something like that. And for them to say, well, it cost, you know, $6 million or something, that might be a stretch.
Okay. Well, two final questions. First one, whenever there's any kind of discussion about AI, the always thing is, well, it won't be long and they will be so, these computers, servers will be so creative. They will be perpetuating themselves. They will be creating other servers and we'll be locked out. Any possibility of that?
Well, I guess there's always a possibility of it.
Do I have to rephrase the question?
But I think at this point, that's not where we're at. But I do think the bigger concern is the acceptance and the fact that we believe what the system tells us. So many people ask these systems on a daily basis questions and take what they respond
as gospel. But now, okay, this is my final question, but this is like, to me, the biggie. Many of us have privacy concerns. Yes. And the more servers and the more data centers and the more apps and AI mechanisms out there, then the more, whether it's facial recognition or whatever, the more and more they know everything we do, think, and say. Correct?
Yes, correct. Correct.
And so, therefore, we're now more susceptible to being controlled.
Yes. Yes.
I love it when you agree with me.
No. Now there are some AI engines that promise privacy. In the beginning stages of ChatGPT, when people started using it, there were some people who foolishly fed it information that was, you know, private, confidential information within their industry. And at that point, the chatbot could actually use it to respond to other people's questions as well. They made that mistake and put that information. They thought it was just private, and once you fed it into that system, it was available for everyone.
Is there anything on the internet that is private?
Yeah, probably not. I guess as long as you keep it on your own equipment, you can keep it private.
But that means it's not on the internet.
It can be attached to it. It can get to the internet, but no, it wouldn't be available to everyone for sure.
Okay, we'll bring you back and we'll do a whole program on that. Privacy. Okay. We want to thank John Lewis, Integrated Data Tech. If someone wants to get in touch, tell me quickly, we only got just a few seconds left, what type of work and services y'all provide?
So we provide basically IT services to small and medium businesses. Our focus is on a hands-on approach. We're a bit old school, and instead of being like a traditional MSP, managed service provider, we kind of call ourselves a concierge MSP. We come to you. We're not just a voice at the other end of the phone that you don't know who you're getting. You'll get to know your technician, and we do do a lot of on-site work, but we've all been doing this a long time, so we have a lot of experience.
Website?
It is www.integrateddatatech.com.
Okay, well, we ran out of time, so we won't have the test. We'll postpone that when John Lewis comes back. And we thank John for coming in and going through Artificial Intelligence 101. We thank you for listening, and go out and make it a great day. You're in tune to WLBB Carrollton.